see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman Podcast.
No fun, my babe. No fun. No fun, my babe. No fun. No fun to hang around, being that same old way. No fun to hang around, freaked out for another day. That would be a better outro song than the one I have. Or even the part of the New York Dolls song that's like, I gotta have some fun. Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Is that Pills? What a song is that? Oh my God, two really cool music references in the first 58 seconds. Don't worry, I don't think things are cool just because they were 70s punk. 60s for the Stooges? No. 70s? Yes. What, you know what? Email me. The Stooges were March 1st, 1967. Okay. Oh my God. I forgot to hem episode. I don't know. I don't care. Of I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman podcast. Hi, everybody. I was a little cranky last week. Thank you for people who wrote in. Oh, I was going to say it's episode 13. Getting ahead of myself. It's episode 12. Some people wrote in to say they didn't think I sounded that cranky. Thank you. Because I never want to sound annoying. But I was cranky. So cranky. And this is for the young boys out there. Last week, I didn't have PMS. This week is my PMS week. Next week is my period. So see, women can just be cranky sometimes for no a reason. By the way, in the last episode, if you listen to it, Teeth, which by the way, is the least downloaded episode so far. My listenership has dropped in half over the past 2 weeks. What is it? Just summertime? People don't know how to download things. They forget their passwords. They go to the beach. They get into the polluted oil spill water and then you forget your passwords. Or you just go, I hate her. I'm not down. I'm too busy to listen. I'm on my boogie board. Can't take a iPod into the water. Oh, first of all, let me make my correction and then okay. Whoa, calm yourself, Jen, right? Whoa, Nelly, as they say to horses. Sorry. I was buying an iPhone years ago. No big deal. In on the cutting edge ground level of version 4. and I'm prone to dropping things in water. And it's never going to stop. It is never going to stop. I've got the insurance so that I can get a new phone for $99. I know that that is still wasteful. But I would say once a year, or maybe even a little under once a year, let's say once every 10 months, I drop my phone in enough water that over time I have to get a new one. Or I do one big water situation like I've dropped it in a bathtub before. I've had my phone fall in the ocean, you know, things like that. So I'm buying this iPhone a couple years ago and this guy was like, you need to get this life case. And it's like, makes your phone so bulky and you can't plug anything into it. I'm constantly plugging in headphones to talk on the phone or to charge it in the car. And it's so hard to get off and I don't want to ruin my nails. And it was this big bulky case. It's like, it's the life case. If it ever gets wet, every single part is covered. So it would never, you would never spill into the phone. He's like, it's perfect when you're listening to music and going surfing. And go, well, I'm not doing that. So that's a very specific pitch. Now I could see if I came in a wetsuit with like white blonde hair, that beautiful surfer hair. That hair is so beautiful. Does surfing must just attract blonde people? It doesn't turn you white blonde. I mean, maybe they bleach your hair. Hi, welcome to Surfing Stereotype Corner. We'll be debunking and debriefing and demystifying what comes first, the surf aesthetic or... the show just got canceled. Sorry, everybody. I'm going to start a blog. That's the lady with the surfing show that got canceled while she was introducing it. It's cutthroat business. The business of shows I made up that I'm not even sure if they were a TV show or a radio show. Anyway, I did not look like a surfer. So I don't know if this guy was doing that thing where I'm like, why are you surfing with music? Also, I don't use my iPhone as my iPod. I like to keep it separate. But I got his drift. And I was like, right, well, I won't be surfing, so I don't need something like this. He's like, no, but it's great. He's like, you can put your tunes in and just put your headphones on and go in the ocean. I'm like, never going in the ocean. I mean, I'm going sometimes. I did drop my iPod in the ocean a couple weeks ago, but I was taking a jog on the beach and my bikini bottom, it was a string bikini. Now, I know this is getting very sexy right now, but it was, you know, not like the whole thing was a string. I'm not saying a thong. I'm saying it was a normal bikini bottoms, but the sides, you tie them in a bow or knot or whatever you want to do. And it was coming undone as I was running. And so I was like trying to run and retie it. And I dropped my iPod onto the beach. That is the difference between the cold open of a show like Baywatch and my real life. I don't look cool running on a beach. My pants almost fall down. And then I ruin my electronics. Spazzily trying to do... I try to do it all. Us women try to do it all. Can you run... hold an iPod and tie your string bikini all at once? I can't. And it's okay to admit that we can't do it all. It's okay. We're not superwomen. We're just equal. That show just got canceled. That's the Can Women Do It All hour on SiriusXM, but it's just specifically about four random things that don't go together that nobody really could do. It's not just, you know. Anyway, I don't know what my point is about that iPod or iPhone or that guy who said that, but I'm sure you know because you just heard me start a story, but I don't know where it's going. Who cares? So last week it started with the downloads. You people are, it's summertime, you're not downloading my show. That's all right. That's all right. This show will take off and you'll be begging me for episodes 10 through 13. And I'm going to take these ones down specifically. Whatever the lowest rated episodes are, I'm going to take down. And then when I'm so famous that 10 more people listen to my podcast, they won't be able to get these episodes. You, Jenny and Johnny come latelys. I'm only joking. I do this podcast honestly for myself and whatever 20 people are listening. It does amuse me. Oh, I am in my bed. Okay. So last week I was talking about being in the dentist waiting room. My dentist plays classic comedy, plays I Love Lucy episodes. And then I went off into a tangent and then I said I couldn't remember why I mentioned I Love Lucy. This is not why I mentioned it, but what I was going to say was, and this is, I don't know why I felt the need to bring it up again because it's depressing. But I was saying that I Love Lucy doesn't hold up for me anymore. Right? I liked the show when I was a kid. Now, if I saw a rerun of it, it, you know, that feeling, I'm sure you all have this with different TV shows where the nostalgia of it even or something makes you feel depressed. That Sunday night, I have school in the morning, depressed feeling that's not even related to watching TV, but just if I walked by, if I was in a Best Buy and there was a row of televisions and they were all set to I Love Lucy, I think there'd be just kind of a sadness cloud in the air. And maybe nobody would buy anything. And they'd be like, well, I guess we don't even need a TV. You know, you just leave. I thought that that was just, you know, it's a very old TV show. But now I'm even triple depressed ever since what happened to me last October when I saw my last time that I saw I Love Lucy on a TV screen will be burned into my brain forever. I was voting. You realize it hasn't even really been 100 years since women were allowed to vote in this country. Isn't that crazy? This country hates black people, and black people were allowed to vote before women. Isn't that crazy? I'm not like, that's, nobody should have been kept from voting, but it is when you think about. Anyway, so exercising my right to vote. Voting doesn't mean anything. It's really run by the corporations and, you know, it's just really an empty gesture. Now, if you want to change the system, you vote third party. I did. Shut up. Well, voting third party doesn't do anything either. I know all the things about voting, but when you're a group that was kept from it, when you're the last group that was kept from it, you fucking vote. People died so I could have the right to vote. I'm voting. You little guys want to not vote? Gonna be my fucking guest. But you should at least exercise your right to write Kermit the Frog in if you want. Anyway. He'd be a terrible president. He'd wear a trench coat with no clothes under it. Ba-da-ba-ba-da. There she goes, Jen Kirkman. Oh, that Kermit joke was amazing. So I was voting, and it was in a nursing home. Now, it wasn't just like in the rec room of a nursing home. It was sort of in the lobby area, like, and when you waited in line to vote, instead of waiting outside, they had you come in, and the line was inside, and it went down the hall of the nursing home. And this isn't like, oh, hi, I'm Your grandmother, Betsy Janine Johnson, I'm your grandmother, and I'm about 65, but after Albert died, I decided I'd like a little assisted living, and I have my life alert bracelet, and I have my little one-bedroom apartment with my wicker furniture, and this is nice, and there is a handicapped stall in the shower. I mean, I feel like an old woman or what. No, this was like a nursing home. This was like the equivalent of cats in cages that you know are going to be put down in 3 days. This was two women to a room in Craftmatic adjustable beds in very small rooms, and it smelled like death. It smelled like poop and anything else that can come out of any part of your body, and you could actually smell organs rotting. And every TV was like a terrible big bulby TV from the 80s, and every TV was set to I Love Lucy. In every room, I Love Lucy was on, and old women were laying there just going, this one woman whose room I was standing in front of for a particularly long period of time was like, ow! Ow! And you just hear like, Ricky, oh, Lucy, I'm not gonna do that tonight. Oh, Fred and Ethel are here. Ow! It sounded like a witch burning in an oven. And I was like, oh, that's what it looks like to die alone. That's what I'm looking at. So someday I will be in a nursing home. You'll get married again. Don't worry. Not worried about that. I'm sure all these women were married. Women live longer than men. So you sit in the nursing home, I'll be sitting there, and there'll just be episodes of, I don't know what, it'll just be Netflix. And I'll be like, I don't know how to use this anymore. I didn't know how to use it then. It's moving too fast. It's moving too fast. I didn't watch the Arrested Development on Netflix, so I can't follow what's going on. Ow. Ah. Or just, they'll just have like speakers and all the old women will be listening to podcasts. Oh my God, my phone is ringing. I love when people think that they should call me. Text me. I will not answer a call. I just don't call people back. It's a terrible habit because I think it's rude to get a call but then text someone back. So then I just get trapped in this quagmire. But it's like I don't ever have time to call back when I'm at work. Like I have 2 seconds. I have to talk quietly. So it's just a bother. Then it's like someone asks me to do something. I say yes. Then I have to remember to write it down. Text me and then I'll take the text, copy it, put it in my calendar. I'll talk to you in person all day long. Let's have a coffee. Why are you calling? I know I'm driving. It was just a really quick thing. Then wait till you're out of the car. I'm going to go back to having a voicemail service so that I can't even answer. And on the voicemail service, it'll say, leave what you need, and I will text you back. You're very unfriendly. Anyway, that was my whole point about bringing up I Love Lucy that time, was to bring up that. Aren't you glad I did? I went to iTunes. Thank you guys for doing the 5-star thing. If you like this podcast, go to iTunes and give it 5 stars. It helps something. I forget. But you don't have to give a traditional review. You can write your favorite line from the podcast. I have people write, I listened to the podcast, because I think that is the funniest, weird half compliment you can give someone. It's something that happens to comedians a lot. When they get off stage, people go, you're upstage there. And you're like, okay, that's not a compliment. You obviously hated it. But I did see one comment someone put, and I usually try not to read stuff like that. But this guy was like, enough with, you know, you don't have to take time out and imitate the mansplainers, which I don't know if you know what mansplain is, but it's a phenom. And I don't want to get arguing whether it's real or not. I just want to tell you what the word means. It's when people make fun of guys who just kind of are know-it-alls, and usually they mean it's kind of specific towards women, where a woman might even say, like, there was a famous story about the ultimate in mansplaining. This woman wrote a sort of like a historic, very information-heavy book, like a research book. And she was at a party, and this guy was explaining to her the book, even though she had written it. And then she was like, I know, I wrote it. And then he like didn't apologize or didn't stop and kept like explaining to her what her book was about. And she's like, I know. So it's kind of this weird phenomenon that happens. Now, people can do it to anybody. And so I am not specifically talking about the phenomenon of men to women mansplaining on my podcast. When I do that voice, well, technically, it's not a man thing. I did say in one episode that an explainer is never like that. That is true. That girl would never explain something to you because she's stupid. That girl would say things like, fuck the haters. And you're like, what haters? I'm not Jay-Z. And I'm not worried about anyone hating me. Like sometimes I'll put on Twitter, hey, you guys, I don't have any more tour dates left this year. So I love that you say come to here, come to there, but I can't add anything more, but thank you. Somebody will write, God, you're a bitch. All people are doing is asking you to come somewhere. And then I'll write a joke to them, like, and then someone will write, fuck the haters, keep doing what you're doing. I'm like, no one is hating anything. So that's that girl. Fuck the haters. No, seriously, keep doing your thing. If people don't hate you, I mean, but it's more the nerd phenomenon, the know-it-all, that it could be man or woman that's like, well, technically. Because I have had people send me emails on Tumblr, Facebook messages, tweets, explaining jokes I've said. And it makes me crazy. So that's all. I do that on the podcast, as you probably know, because I just did it. And if you've listened to other episodes, listen, I'm talking to myself, people. It is not brain surgery. It is not scripted. It is not normal. I get that. But I will not be taking suggestions from the audience of what they do and do not like, or what I need to do and not do. And you don't bother with those mansplaining. Like, as if I'm sitting here trying to get through the podcast, but I am just so annoyed with people correcting me that I just have to take a minute. And so this guy on iTunes said, stop addressing people that explain things to you. And I'm like, no, that's part of the shtick, dude. It's a go-to. It's a thing. It's just, I can't help it. I'm not actually upset. It does annoy me. I wish people wouldn't do it. But I'm not like, oh my God, I just got derailed because I had to take a moment to ask people to please do this. Everything I do, I'm pretty much aware of. It can be loose, but I mean, I don't want to reveal too much behind the candelabra here, but people, I'm on to myself. And if you don't like it, I'm choosing to do it. So it's probably not, like, you're probably not going to write me a letter that explains me to myself in a way that I'm like, I didn't even know I was doing that. Thank you. Do you have any more advice on how best to present myself? I'm in bed talking to a microphone. It's just going to be sloppy, and there's going to be all kinds of shit. I know you think that I'm rude, but I actually need to listen to this voicemail because I have a limited amount of time to respond to it. Okay. Call me back regarding a couple things. Probably the worst voicemail you could give me. But at least it's not like a doctor with like test results. I know who it is, and I'm sure I know what they want, but... Oh, that like just bummed me out. There's like nothing bad happening. It's probably good things, but I just hate like not knowing why I'm calling someone back and I can't organize my time. Like just email me the bullet points. Like I have to discuss this, this, and this. That actually is a great way to get around everything I'm saying. All right, so today I just want to, this is going to be a short one because I can't, I'm recording this like very, a few days before I release it, but I'm going to be going away and I have some things due, so I don't even know if this will be a long one, but I wanted to talk about stuff, and this could actually be an interesting topic if I spent more time on it, but I'm reading the book Ava Gardner, The Secret Conversations, written by Peter Evans and Ava Gardner. Now, he was the ghostwriter, and she is the famous Hollywood actress, and she dictated, you know, they talked on the phone. So, now, I actually don't think I know, I'm actually well-versed in Marilyn Monroe movies, and I actually think Marilyn Monroe is very funny, and I like her movies a lot, and she was actually a really smart chick. You know, she was definitely, you could tell she was a victim of sexual abuse, and kind of led with that foot in terms of being baby-like and sexual. But I think anyone that studies the Stanislavski method at, I forget the name of the school, New York. I mean, she was doing, you know, taking method acting classes. And I think she was a very thoughtful actress. Wasn't quite the Lindsay Lohan of her day. Maybe in her last movie, The Misfits, where she was kind of a little messed up on set, but, and, you know, wouldn't come out. And, you know, she definitely had a drug problem, so that colors everyone's behavior. But I think she's a pretty smart lady. I wonder if during that day, though, she was annoying to people. Because I know how I get when there's models on Twitter that people think are funny, but they don't do comedy for a living in any capacity. And everyone's like, they're funny. I'm like, every other joke is about an eating disorder they have. Not that all models have eating disorder, but the ones I'm talking about on Twitter that everyone thinks are funny do. And I'm like, I don't know. It seems like a little bit like self-hating, like not self-deprecating, self-hating. And there's a big difference. Not that a lot of people that follow me get the difference, but self-deprecating means there's a part of yourself you accept, but you realize its flaws and you joke about it. Self-hating is just like insulting yourself, but with like a weird dark twist at the end that could kind of make you laugh technically. But that's why people like that could never do stand-up, because if you said it out loud, people would just feel bad for you. But if you say it in a self-deprecating way on stage, people will laugh. But anyway, they're like, oh, you're just jealous because they're models and they're hot. I'm like, I would love to be a hot model. But if I was, I would just be a hot model. I'd live in France. I'd be modeling. I wouldn't be tweeting. And then some people, you know, I try to look good. I think I get better looking as I get older. But I was funny first. I was a weird looking kid. People weren't nice to me. That's not why I developed a sense of humor. I think I always had one. And the reason people weren't nice to me was because I had a sense of humor. And then the reason that they eventually just stopped was because it didn't get to me. So all you theorists about why people do stand-up can shove it on that one. Did you develop humor as a defense mechanism? Are you crazy? What kind of defense mechanism would that be? I'd punch someone if they were mean. Next question. Oh, I was talking about Marilyn. Anyway, so Ava Gardner, I don't really know her movies. So I'm not reading this as a fan of her. I'm reading it, and don't email me her movies. They're listed here in the book. But it's not that I'm a fan of old Hollywood broads, and Hollywood legend and stuff like that. So this book basically, she said to her co-author, Peter Evans. So Ava Gardner was in her 80s. She had had a stroke. She thought she was dying of emphysema. She was living in London, and she was basically drinking herself to death. She'd been a big drunk her whole life, and she was getting up at like 6 p.m. drinking and then calling this guy at like 11 every night and just spilling some of her story. So that's how this book came about. But she told him, I either write the book or sell the jewels. And I'm kind of sentimental about the jewels. So she was, let's see. Okay, so faithfully recording Ava's thoughts in this book, Peter describes their late night conversations when Ava, having had something to drink and unable to sleep, was at her most candid. So candid, in fact, that when she read her own words, she backed out and halted the book. Only now, years after her death, could this frank and revealing memoir be published. I always have a problem with that. Like, after people die, people just do whatever they want with their books. But I kind of feel like she would have wanted it. Like, it seemed like she did and then was like, oh, I can't. But I think she wouldn't have minded. She called him honey, every other word, which I love. But so she was married to Frank Sinatra, had an affair with Howard Hughes. Her third marriage was to Frank Sinatra. She said, we were fighting all the time, fighting and boozing. It was madness, but he was good in the feathers. What a cool way to say someone's good in bed. Good in the feathers. Well, some beds are foam. Oh, shut up. No one has ever had sex with you. She married bandleader Artie Shaw. She would eventually marry 8 times. Dated Mickey Rooney. But what, as I'm reading this book, and actually I'm only on page 15, so I'm going to preach to you about a book I haven't read, but I read this article about the book, and it was like, she was this, you know, like sex symbol in Hollywood. Like she was like a man eater and a boozy and a broad and a da 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 da, you know, all that kind of stuff. And let me just read like a good description of her. Of course, it's hard to find. But, okay. She'd been called the most irresistible woman in Hollywood and the world's most beautiful animal. Such was the typical hype that was de rigueur, I can't pronounce it, in the Hollywood marketing machine of the 1940s and 50s, but they were not inappropriate. Ava Gardner's whole life had been defined by her beauty and the many and various lovers it ensnared, and she famously devoured. She had seduced, been seduced by, married to, and divorced from, lived with, and walked out on some of the most famous names of the 20th century. She had toy boys before Cher had toys, although it was unlikely that any of them remained boys for very long in her company. Okay. So what's so interesting about that is like, I feel like if I was, I'm not getting into that. There was this one part I was reading about that I'm going to read about where she was married to Frank Sinatra and like these guys would just get so jealous of her affairs with other people as, you know, you would do. But like the jealousy, like everyone's reaction was so explosive. Like there was like, she was like physically beaten by people and she's beating people and everybody's like fighting and there's, you know, she would just say she would like wake up so many mornings like bloody and bruised with her lover next to her, whoever that was, and she didn't remember it happened. It's like everyone's like killing each other here. And one night, Frank Sinatra shot his gun into a pillow when she was in the next room, so just so that she would think he had killed himself for like a second and she would come back, you know, just to scare the shit out of her for 2 seconds because he was jealous of her affair. And then One night, she and Frank Sinatra were driving through Palm Springs with loaded 38 pistols and shooting them out the window, shooting at street signs. You're like, what? That kind of stuff. And this is what brings me to, like, okay, you're on TMZ now and you're like, if there was TMZ back then, we would know. We would have known all that stuff. Like, back then, except, like, Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton were, like, the first people whose lives were starting to get sort of uncovered as things were happening. Oh, they're boozy and drinky and fighting and cheating. But I feel like you only got, like, word that was happening. Like, then we find out later, like, they barely raised their kids and their kids only had a third grade education at a certain point, or like they weren't going to school and just all kinds of craziness. So it's like, there is something to not knowing at the time that creates glamour. I mean, these people were just as fucked up as people are now, but there's something so unglamorous about Lindsay Lohan's mental illness or addictions or Amanda Bynes or anything like that. Like, it just, not that these are great examples of actresses, but we don't, every time someone does something, it's on TMZ. This person got arrested for drugs, guns, this, that, domestic violence, blah, blah, blah. If we knew this was happening while these people were presenting this glamorous world on TV and movies and magazines that were written to keep people in the closet, make up fake marriages, keep marriages together, keep this weirdly wholesome but glamorous image, I think these people might not have ended up legends, if that makes any sense. Like, but then again, it's like, you know, Michael Jackson molested people, allegedly, and, you know, died of doing propofol, and yet, except the morbid fascination right away, with what happened? No one knew. Yeah, everyone knew. It's like a corpse in that movie. This is it. We didn't know. We didn't. He was happy and healthy 2 days before his death. That's probably why people die, because they're surrounded by the dumbest people. We're like, you're happy and healthy. And they're like shooting up in their ass in the bathroom. So yeah, and then someone like Michael Jackson dies, and then we don't really talk about the past, and we just, you know, play all his music and everyone reveres that person. Let's just think about what they gave us. And so, I mean, maybe there always will be a sense of like forgiving and glamour and all that. But I just, like, not that I knew Ava Gardner's work when it was happening, but because I've only known of Frank Sinatra's music forever, and then later in life, when I give half of a shit, I find out, oh, Mob Connections, or was an asshole to women, or this. I'm like, all right, well, I don't know. What did I expect? I guess that was back then. It's different than seeing it at the same time as and letting that influence your opinion on the art, so to speak. But I know not to glamorize these people. I know they're no better than, in a weird way, any of the people that exist. I mean, but I do miss glamour. Like, who are our glamorous movie stars or TV stars? Like, I think the Kardashians are probably, not for you and me, but they are millions and millions of followers strong. And I think it's a lot of like international support, but they might be our most glamorous people in a way. I mean, they're not bad people. I met them once. They came to my job and they were very lovely and not like fake lovely. You can tell when people are like, oh, you probably have a really good heart. Like, they're not, you know, they're fine. But there's no glamour because they're showing us behind the curtain, or they're making I just feel like these women from back then walked around all the time in beaded crystal gowns. You know, they were never like taking a selfie. Like, I'm at the manicure place. You're like, I don't want to see that. I want to think that you're better than me. You know, that you wake up with red painted nails and you can smoke and you don't get cancer. I don't want to think about that. But I just kind of just like the way she talks, like, oh, honey. I mean, no one talks like that anymore except gay guys. Like, women have completely forgot about the glamour of being an old broad. Thank God gay guys are keeping that kind of talk alive. But now it's like, that's how gay guys talk. But like, if women talk that way, you sound like a gay guy. That sounds like the theme song to Archie Bunker. That sounds like some old man. Now the gays are women and the women are still not women. What? That's not the theme song to All in the Family, by the way. You know what I mean. Well, I guess I should have read the book before I tried to start talking about it. But I do think, I don't know why, I will always just love old Hollywood glamour. And I will forgive it because I didn't know, you know, at the time that they were driving down the street shooting at street signs. But now, you know, it's like if you showed a picture of Ava Gardner and then like some chick from Florida and Lindsay Lohan and said which one was driving around the streets shooting street signs, you would not pick Ava Gardner or Frank Sinatra. You might now with the knowledge you have, but just some dame and some gentleman. I guess what I'm going to say is if you're going to be a fuck up, don't look like one. Keep some glamour about yourself. I really don't have a point. I love reading biographies, though, once I get to it. I guess she tried to write her memoirs even earlier, but Frank Sinatra paid her off. And I guess he paid her bills up until her death. Or, you know, I think he died before she did, but I don't know what's more glamorous to do. End up dying alone like those old women. I mean, what's the difference between those old women dying alone and Ava Gardner? Nothing. You always think, oh, it's so glamorous. Like the lyrics to Copacabana. Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl. But that was 30 years ago when they used to have a show. Now it's a disco. But not for Lola. Still in that dress she used to wear. Faded feathers in her hair. She sits her so refined and drinks herself half blind. She lost her youth and she lost her Tony. Now she's lost her mind at the Copa. But you're like, that's okay. Wait, wait, wait. She's drunk and lost her mind, but she looks refined, right? She's still at the Copa? That dress is pretty cool vintage. That's fine. That sounds fine. It's not like... She's in a nursing home. Kids are voting for the press. She's got candy made of piss. Her hair hasn't been combed in years. She's screaming out at the TV. Who will the president be? We'll find out tonight on the news. The old lady will already be snoozed. She has no one to visit her. And she just had pudding at the nursing home. Like, that sounds awful. But the feelings are the same. I'm here. No one cares about me anymore because I'm old. Ava Gardner was like, nobody cares about me anymore because I'm washed up. I can't work anymore because I had a stroke. But you're like, couldn't you do something? Couldn't you start a podcast or a blog? Come on, girl, there's going to be something you can do. And she just sat there getting up when the sun went down and drinking all night. By the way, that's why you couldn't sleep, Ava. Alcohol will wake you up in the middle of the night as it's processing and leaving your body. Did you guys know that? That's why you wake up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. Not always. I mean, if you haven't had a drink, I guess it's something else. But that's why I can't drink after midnight. And I can only have a couple drinks or else I'll get really... My body will still be processing at 3, 4 in the morning. I'll wake up. When you're younger, you sleep right through that. But my point is, I guess I was going to say before, part of me was thinking if I were still married and I read this book, I would be so depressed. Like, God, did I live enough? You know, I want to have 8 marriages and all kinds of lovers. You know, when someone refers to you as, she had a lot of lovers, it sounds so glamorous, you know, like, why wouldn't you do that? You're alive. What, you know, if, especially if you're not religious and your goal isn't to have a family, why wouldn't you just have all different kinds of experiences? A man for this, a man for that, right, honey? But then you're like, all right, you can be that if you want, but it's not like you're meeting the kind of men she did that were like kind of interesting and dangerous and old school actors and stuff. Or just also like different things for different people. And it's like, you don't have to be that extreme. You don't have to be married either. But now that I have the freedom to do whatever I want, I've done a couple of things where I'm like, oh, that's going to make a good story. But then you have the story and then you still don't feel fulfilled by anything. So I think it's stupid to daydream, oh, that'd be cool to be that kind of person. Because, yeah, you're right. It does make a good story and I'm loving reading this book. But if all that you're doing something for, the only thing that results is that you're kind of interesting with some stories, I don't know if that feels that good in your heart. you know, like at the end of the day, after all the fun was over and she had a stroke, she still has, I mean, she's probably some kind of an addict or drunk or emotionally damaged and needs therapy. Like now you're stuck with those thoughts in your head as an old woman and you're calling people on the phone, you know, like that's kind of, that's not the kind of, if you're going to be alone, old woman, like you want to be the smart kind that's got it figured out, that can go like, okay, well, I might be a little lonely right now, but I'm going to sit with it. And, you know, just staring at your jewels and like, what did I do? But I guess that's the price you pay for all that fun you had. So it's like, yeah, you can either keep it a little, you can either have no fun, no offense, get married at 25, have kids, or you can have some fun and you can have some serious relationships, have some periods where you run around. Then sometimes you're just lonely and you don't have anyone to bring to your friend's wedding and a couple Friday nights or barbecues where you're like, well, it'd be nice to have someone. But as long as you're right with who you are, I think you'll be okay as you're sitting alone. I don't know what those old ladies, when they're going, ow, I mean, at least if I said, but are you happy? They might have been like, yes, I did everything I wanted to do. And I have more than just my stories. I have an understanding of life and I have a peacefulness inside of me. And it's you young people I feel badly for. You didn't have entertainment like I Love Lucy. Now what are you watching? The Kardashians, and what did they do on this episode? Open their mail? Well, that's not interesting. Look at Lucy up there. She's making grapes with Ethel and they're about to fall down the barrel. Suddenly the old lady, she's cured just from talking to me. She was before going, ah, now she's talking to me. I don't have a point. At the Copa. Okay, I gotta go, but let's read some I Seem Fun emails. Well, I'm sorry about the weird topic today that made no sense. Caroline writes, oh, so if you email me at iseemfun@gmail.com and tell me what you think is fun that other people are weirded out by that you do, or things that people do that you don't think is fun. Before we go to jenkirkman.com. I am going to be London. I'm coming to perform 6 shows, September 23rd through 28th at the Soho Theater, Montreal. I'm doing a one-woman show next week. Come. And Austin, I'm at the Scottish Rite Theater in September. October in Bloomington, Indiana. The tickets aren't on sale yet, but go to jenkirkman.com tour dates and get tickets right now for all those things. I really need you guys to come to Austin. If you live in Austin, please tell everyone about it. Now, listen to me. Why don't you do a whole tour in Europe? I'm not famous. I don't know how many fans I have everywhere. I have 1 week off. I work 47 weeks a year at my permanent writing job and television gig. On some of the weeks off, I choose to travel and do stand-up. I never stop working. On my week off, I will be in London. I will be landing a plane. Well, I'm not landing it myself. Although maybe if I did, I'd still do a better job than that guy in San Francisco. I'll be landing from London at 8 p.m. on Sunday night to be at work the next day at 10 a.m. Do you understand? That's how tight my life is. Don't tell me to come to Europe, other places while I'm there. I'm not doing it. This was set up, a professional show in a theater by my management company, which is also a British company. Thank you. Stop pressuring me. Okay. Caroline writes, I love to stay home on a Friday or Saturday night when all my friends are out and read true crime novels with some tea. Right now I'm reading Helter Skelter, and I read it while listening to the Beatles' White Album, which I realize is pretty fucked up considering that's the album that inspired Manson to murder. But hey, great album, great book. No matter how weird people tell me it is, it's seriously what I most look forward to during the week. I love those nights scaring the shit out of myself. Okay, I don't think Manson actually murdered anyone, did he? Sorry to correct you. Did he actually? I thought he just inspired people to murder. So you could say it's a song that inspired Manson to inspire people to murder. I hope nothing I do inspires people to murder. And if they do, if it does, I hope they keep me the fuck out of it. That is fucked up, Caroline. I'm not judging you, but I hate being scared. I don't know if you have roommates or have some kind of living situation where it's not easy to get into your place and you just feel safe, or you don't care if you feel safe. I hate being scared. I'm scared of everything. I think to myself, what if the doorman in my building goes insane and he doesn't have the keys, but he could just come in and start killing us, and he'd be the one I'd call if something was going on, but not if he's the one doing it. And then what if I try to jump off my balcony and climb down the window, but there's a police helicopter there, but they're corrupt and they're there to get me too. I don't like that feeling. I know all these women, they love like true crime and all those CSI things. I hate that stuff. But I would never judge my friend if that's what they wanted to do. Unless you like started talking about the ways in which you would murder someone, Caroline, if you're like, I don't know, there's a fine line. If I think that I might need to report you, you know, I don't care how good of friends we are, I'll report your ass. Oh my God, Caroline, I think I found you a boyfriend, Dustin. Okay, Dustin writes, as a 31-year-old 9-to-5, well, actually 7-to-3 medical editor who's been moonlighting as a film critic for 15 years, free time is a hot commodity to me. Because I'm so busy on the weekdays going to work and then heading off to evening screenings, I have a ritual on Friday, Saturday nights that I excitedly look forward to. Typically, I go to bed around midnight, but my internal clock naturally wakes me up around 3:30. Are you drinking, Dustin? Are you drinking? Because 31 is about the age where your body stops processing alcohol. For 15 minutes, he says, Dustin keeps saying, for 15 minutes, I luxuriate in the bathroom. All right. With my hot off the presses issue of Entertainment Weekly. Dustin, don't write about poo-poo pee-pee. Are you pooping in there? Are you pooping? I'm going to imagine that you're not pooping, that you took a nice hot bath for 15 minutes at 3 in the morning. Whoa, I can't believe I just had to read something about pooping. All right, he continues. Then I spend about an hour in my office in the dark of my computer. Not for porn sites, no. Instead, I delight in reading up on weekend box office updates and perusing the web sleuths' message boards, reading up on all the missing persons and true crime cases I regularly follow before heading back to my cozy bed for a few more hours of sleep as the sun slowly rises. Oh, shoot, Caroline, sorry. I have a very fulfilling life, a wonderful live-in boyfriend of 13 years. Sorry, Caroline, he's gay and taken. And within the last 7 months, I bought and moved into my first house. I'm not bragging. I just don't want you to think I'm some crazy person who trolls the internet looking for people to snatch. Can't I just be a fan of film and sleuthing at 4 a.m. in the morning on Fridays and Saturdays? He wrote live, laugh, love. Totally just kidding. All my best, Dustin. Thank you, Dustin. I didn't read your compliments because I don't want people to think that I am bragging. But thank you. No, I actually think it's great. Like, if you can get up in the middle of the night and do something and then go back to bed and you don't feel like shit the next day, then I would love to do that because sometimes I do wake up in the middle of the night. Not from drinking. It just sometimes it's a thing I have. And I'm not looking for a remedy. I do all kinds of natural stuff, acupuncture. I'm fine. But it happens so rarely. And it usually has to do with travel and resetting. And I have a million remedies for it. It's fine. But on the once in a while that it happens, I so can't believe that it's happening that I think I'm going to fall right back asleep in a minute. And I know sometimes they say the best thing you can do is just get back up. Then you'll get tired again. You'll go to bed. But I never trust that. But I think it's great that you can take a shit and look at the web. It actually is the perfect time to poop while your partner's sleeping in the middle of the night. Because otherwise, they know exactly what you're doing if you're in the bathroom for 15 minutes. If they're awake. I just hope your bathroom in this new house is not near the bedroom so that your boyfriend doesn't have to hear or smell anything. And again, you might not be pooping, but what are you doing in the bathroom? I've been around the block a few times. I know what people do on the toilet. I don't know why you people like these missing people true crime things. I am not judging, but I am terrified. I assume there are bodies hidden every dumpster I walk by. I assume every hike I take, there's a finger that I just didn't notice sitting on the ground. I assume that everyone is a rapist. I just am always thinking about true crime. Why do they call it true crime? Because it's not fiction. Anyway. Okay, there's more people. I'm going to get to them more next week. Oh, this is like sort of a half compliment. I discovered that my Jen Kirkman third person running commentary does not seem fun to my coworkers. I work in IT and everyone seems to listen to various comedy podcasts and are open to jokes and general silliness. After listening to a few weeks of I Seem Fun, I decided to try doing your running commentary and it bombed. I'd say stuff like, let's get burritos for lunch, parentheses, but you like to close doors and fart. Yeah, I don't know. I think you got to do the third person thing to yourself. I could be wrong. Oh, I want to read this next week about the farmer's market. Ah, see this guy. I love the fact that you spend a third of your podcast trying to shut down internet commenters before they can spew words. It always makes me smile. See, this guy loves it. All right, I'm going to read some of these next week. I got to run. There's so many good emails. I'm going to have to do like a special email episode that's separate. All right. I love you guys. I'm just staring off and I forgot to shut off the recorder. I think this phone call really fucked me up. This is what happens when you call people. Don't call people. At the Copa. All right. Till next week. Have fun.